turnout and good work day and got a lot done. So I just wanted everyone to know how much we really appreciate your labor of love and service. Is Brother Bryant, is Sister Bryant not here today? Okay. All righty. All right, I guess everybody's settled down. Let's have church. Praise God. be in the house of the Lord once again today. Appreciate everyone that's here. Glad my wife was able to be here today. We haven't always enjoyed her presence lately, but we asked y'all to pray for my mother. She's really gone through about the last 3 weeks since the campground. Difficult time, and of course she was doing so good before that that hospice care had told us that they had already determined that if she didn't, you know, have any changes, that she would be denied assistance as of July the 1st, but or July the 8th, whenever it was. And so we were praying that she could get, you know, that she had qualified again, because once a month for 5 days, we can put her in the hospice center and give Sister Smith a break. She was planning on putting her there during the time of the youth meeting so she could make the youth meeting. But if she was denied, she would drop out before the youth meeting. But they recertified her last week. All of this that's gone on the last 3 weeks, she was able to be recertified for another 60 days. So Sister Smith will be able to make the youth meeting. And now she's improving. This morning, my wife came in. She said, "Your mama's just doing so good." She's really just doing not very well at all for the last few weeks. But I told my wife, I said something to her this morning about, I said, maybe we better get all of her assets out of her name. You know, because if they're out of her name after 5 years, then she's eligible for a lot more assistance. So I said, who knows? She may live another 5 years. Sister Smith said she's probably going to live 10. So anyway, we're thankful, though, that the Lord's helping us with her. And I'm glad Sister Smith could get, you know, away from her for a couple hours, two or three, and be able to be in service today. Praise God. Well, I'm glad that this song we were singing, I felt the Lord come in. Brother Wallace, I could see he was feeling it on the band song of How Great Thou Art. We've been talking in Bible study on the book of Hebrews, and I might mention, too, that we've got several out today. Brother and Sister Tally are out of town. Sister Renata and Brother Terrence are in Texas. They let us know. They were asking us, as a matter of fact, that we'd pray that they'd have a safe trip. And Brother and Sister McPhee, I don't know where they're at today. But anyway, there's different ones out for different reasons, and but I'm thankful for all of you that are here, and again, for the not only the workers that came and worked on the physical plant facility yesterday, but also for the turnout of all the sisters, young sisters and their mamas that came and served us breakfast and stayed in the afternoon. They went and got pizzas for us, and so we've made a lot of headway in the kitchen for the meeting. Some changes. It's going to benefit us for the future, not just for the meeting, but for the future. And then we're working also in the gym to get it. We're putting some emphasis on the gym, even though it won't. What we're wanting to do won't be completed for the youth meeting, but we're not just wanting to fix it up for the youth meeting. We want to fix it up for the local church. So We've completely tore the snack bar out, and we're putting in all brand new stuff, and raising the ceilings. We're going to air condition the snack bar, and we are going to air condition the gym and get it in much better working conditions. We've got plans moving forward for removing the water issue that we've had over there for years. So hopefully in the next few months we'll have good success be able to, of course, we probably won't get it finished for air conditioning to enjoy this year. I told somebody, I said, let's pray that we'll have a week like they're forecasting this week, the week of the youth meeting. It's going to be in the 80s this week, and high in the mid-80s, low to mid-80s. So let's pray that God would give us cool weather for the youth meeting, even though we've made provisions for the air conditioning and extra portable air conditioning to come in. But also pray for the workers, especially Brother Boyd. We've got a lot of we've got pretty big undertaking to finish some things for the youth meeting in the next 2 weeks. Right now we're planning that we'll probably have to have another work day this next Saturday. And then the Wednesday before the youth meeting, I'm thinking of having that Wednesday evening, not having a regular service, but just having a general, just tidy up last minute issues, make sure the church is clean. And so if everyone would come, maybe I shouldn't have told that. Maybe I'll just let y'all came and then put you to work. But this way you can dress for work. But right now that's the plan. But we'll announce further as we get there, because that's still 10 days away, a week from this coming Wednesday night. One of the things that I'm a little bit concerned about, that I'm a little bit afraid that we're going to have company to come in to have Wednesday night service with us. So if several people call us about that, well, we may tell them to wear work clothes. And we'll pray. We'll run and pray. Work and pray. Yeah. Anyway, this song we were singing was talking about worshiping the Lord in the Holy of Holies, which, you know, the type in the scriptures, the tabernacle had the outer court where you offered your sacrifices up out there. Then the priest would take the blood of the sacrifice and he would wash himself in the laver and change clothes. You couldn't go into the holy place. The temple had two compartments. The first compartment was called the holy place. That's where the calendar, calendar, the candlestick. The candlestick, you know, it had seven lights. There was two branches that came out like this with a bowl on top on each one, that they put olive oil in that bowl, and then they lit it and it burned. Then there was two branches above that, and there was two bowls in it that were lit up, and then there was two branches above that. So that was six branches with a bowl, and then on top of the stem was a bowl, and that was the seventh. And that was a picture of the seven spirits of God that it's mentioned in the 11th chapter. Is it the 11th or 9th chapter? 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is one of God's seven spirits. Seven is a number of completeness. And so the Bible talks about seven spirits of God. And then there's seven lights in the candlestick in that holy place One is the Spirit of the Lord, which I've always used that to show that God the Father, His manifestation with His presence. Nobody's ever seen His face. Moses is the only one we know of that saw His form from His backside. He just saw His backside. And then there's the Spirit of wisdom, which I've always said that's Christ, God manifesting His wisdom through His Son. His Son was given the wisdom of God. In fact, I'll give you a scripture if you want to make a note on that. In 1 Corinthians, thirtieth verse, chapter 1. But of Him, God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is the Spirit of wisdom manifest. I think it manifests through Christ. Now, all of us have, in other words, I never have tried to say that the seven spirits of God are resident just in one person or I'm saying they're available to the least saint. When you feel God's presence, you're feeling one of the seven spirits of God. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you've received the wisdom of God. And, of course, it's His wisdom that built the house that God gave Him. He's building the whole house of God, the church, the body of Christ, the reconciliation of all things from fallen man back to God. So that the Spirit of wisdom, you're receiving that. It's touching your life. Then, if you want to turn to Isaiah 11, some of you saints probably ought to look at this from time to time, and you young people too. I'm looking forward to God touching our young people in this youth meeting upcoming. Brother Elisha, get your heart ready. God's going to give you the Holy Ghost in this youth meeting, I believe. You get ready for that. The Lord to touch you. I felt like the Lord spoke that to me while you was up here praying. In this meeting, if you'll get your heart ready, He'll give you the Holy Ghost. I think He's, had stammering lips and maybe even spoke in tongues, but He's not satisfied yet. I think God wants Him to be. Wouldn't you like to hear Elisha get up and say, "I have the Holy Ghost"? I'm telling you, God gave it to me. I've been born of His Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, and then our young people, I'd like to see God set them on fire so much that they begin to affect other young people and bring them in here. And we need that. We need some more young people come in here. And I'll tell you, I appreciate all of our young people and young men and young women that are trying to serve God. Appreciate brother Zach and brother Caleb really holding a good light for our young men, living an example before them, and our sisters. I could call y'all names. I guess I better quit calling names, but I do appreciate when young people get a hold of God and want to live the life. And anyway, here in the 11th chapter of Isaiah, it said there in first verse, "There shall come a rod out of the stem of Jesse." That was David, "and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And Jesus said, "I am the branch." He told His disciples that in the 17th chapter of St. John. This is a prophecy of Jesus. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him." That's the Spirit of His Father. Presence, the God, that's the source of life. the source of life, and God's Spirit would rest on him. God had a dove light on him when John baptized him in the River Jordan as a sign to John that this is the Messiah. The Spirit of God, that's a type of the dove, is a type and a picture of the Spirit of God in the Bible. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. That's one of the seven spirits. And the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. He wasn't only the wisdom of God. The whole eighth chapter of Proverbs is wisdom saying, I was there in the beginning. The whole eighth chapter is talking about Jesus that was there with God in the eighth chapter of Proverbs. And the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. That's another Spirit of God. One of God's categorical manifestations in the Spirit of understanding. Jesus had all these, but I see where God and Christ and a fivefold ministry are how the seven categories of God's manifestation in the seven spirits of God are received by his saints. The Spirit of understanding is an apostle. That's an apostolic gift. That's what an apostle does. He deals with the big picture. He'll open your understanding. He establishes. You can't be established without understanding. You can have knowledge, but if you don't have understanding of what you know, till you understand it. And that's what the apostles, they establish. And that's understanding establishes. Look, if you'll hold your place here in Isaiah and just look in Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans in the first chapter. What he says in the ninth verse of Romans 1, he said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you might be established. And then if you'll look in Proverbs 24, I'll show you how you get established. Proverbs 24 and 1, it says, be thou envious against evil men, neither be not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is a house builded. See, he's showing a contrast here. Stay away from wickedness and wicked things and wicked ideas. But through wisdom, know this, that through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. Paul wanted to go to Rome, to the Romans, to establish them and impart a spiritual gift. The spiritual gift was understanding, that they could be established. The house is built by wisdom. It's established by understanding. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, and a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and the multitude of counselors their safety. Now, if you go back to the 11th chapter of Isaiah, I'm just showing you that understanding establishes, and that's what apostles do. And then the spirit of counsel and the multitude of counselors, that's pastors. That's what a pastor is. He's a counselor. He takes the word of God, breaks it down. He's the first, the sense of taste is, there's five senses in the human body. The sense of taste is a pastor. The sense of feel is an apostle. An apostle feels for the whole body. He's got a feeling for the whole big plan of God, the whole understanding. That's the sense of feeling. But then the sense of taste is a pastor. He's a first partaker of the fruit. He eats it. That's how it gets in saints. A pastor's the mouth. It gets in the body by him eating it first and giving you what God gave him. He's a shepherd over the people, and you can't get it if the mouth don't eat it. You can't get it. But God's got gifts. He's got pastors in the church that they eat the Word of God. They receive it and digest it, get it in their life, and they share it with God's people. God calls them to do that job. They're counselors. They can take the whole big plan of God that they're receiving from the apostolic doctrine, and they can break it down and counsel you with the Word of God for every situation that you go through in life. That's what a pastor does. He gives you spiritual counsel to help you whatever you're going through, to help you apply the Word of God to that. Get God in your life. You young people, you know, I feel for our young people because they're living in a corrupt world, more corrupt than what we came up in. Every generation before us was a less corrupt generation in America. This has been a godly nation. But this country is becoming so ungodly, you know, and it's difficult. I can see that for our young people. We're so tied up in this world with communication, the media. I mean, everybody's got media. Some of you are on your cell phones right now. You ain't no more listening to me than nothing. Everybody's got one. I do appreciate everybody that brought them and laid them on the altar here a few weeks ago and just said, we'll have a service without one. Well, I don't care if you're looking at your cell phone if you're following me in scriptures on your Bible program. But if you're surfing the net, I wish you'd turn it off. I wish for an hour you could give God your time and your attendance and listen to the Word of God and get the Word of God down in your heart. Because if the Lord's working in a gift of the ministry, He'll feed you. He'll give you something you need. But if you've got your mind strayed off on something else and you're off on a tangent, well, you know, doing something else, letting something else rob you of your time that you should be giving to God, you won't get much out of a service. We're living in a world where you've got to manage your time and have some discipline. But what I was going to say to the young people is, when you grow up as a young person, your mom and daddy brings you here. You might not, you probably wouldn't come on your own, but you ain't got a choice. You know, but when you hit a certain place in life, as an adult, a young adult, you have to make the decision, am I going to serve God or not? Most young adults start dilly-dallying. They have to taste the world. I mean, there's just very few young adults, young people, that don't at least move the boundaries a little bit to see if they really believe what mom and daddy and the church they grew up in teaches and the life that they live. And what happens at first, you don't really feel like it's a great, you know, you may just reach out and taste something and you don't feel too convicted about that because, you know, God didn't strike you down with lightning or something. The thing about God is God knows you. He knows if you understand. He knows what you really have in your life and what you don't. But what happens to a lot of young people is they try things in the world a little bit. And it don't really affect them too much. You know, it's like if you eat a little bit of poison, it won't kill you. But you just keep eating it for long, you'll get sick. That's the way it is when you taste the world. You just taste a little of it, and you don't think it's too bad. You think you can control it. But in a little while, you're living with condemnation. In a little while, there's enough sin that you partook of that you feel condemned. And, you know, you start feeling sick spiritually. And almost every young person, every adult in here knows what I'm talking about. And I think you older young adults do too, because you've went through this experience. Let me tell you something. When you get that condemnation on you and you start feeling a little bit sick spiritually, there ain't no better feeling than when God touches you again. We sing a song, "Touch Me Again, Lord. Touch me again. Let the manna fall from on high." There's not a greater feeling than when God just loves you so much that he gets you in a service and he's able to touch you and let forgive you, lift you out those sins and condemnation off of you. You'll go through a roller coaster ride in your growing up and developing God working in your life if you don't shut him off. If you shut God off, he'll finally say, "Okay, all right. You don't want me, you know, I've appealed to you, I've reached out to you, I've tried to touch you, but if you don't want me in your life, I'll leave you alone." You can finally get God to leave you alone. You can say no, he can knock on your door, and you can just quit never opening the door, and finally he'll just quit coming visiting you. Not forever. If you're his child, he'll try to find a way somehow to get back in your life, but if he realizes, you know, I've went and visited them, I've knocked on their door many times, they won't answer. So I'm just going to turn them over to a reprobate mind. I'm just going to turn them over to sin. Just let sin touch, engulf their life. Let them get in a condition where they'll one day say, "God, I need your help." Well, when you do that and you really mean it, he'll be right on the scene. You may have a lot of scars from the sins you've committed. You may have a lot of things going on in your life. But God will, he will come to you at your beckoning call. What a God. What a God. You see, he understands that you're not established when you're young. Or you may be old and may not be established. But every young person has to go through this. I mean, they're just not, Jesus is the only one I know about that never hit a bump. He hit some bumps, but he just kept moving right straight forward. But you got to understand, he had a father that's greater than any one of your fathers helping him. And it was time. And he was given the Spirit without measure. But God has gave us, he's not gave you something you can't do. He's gave you a grace that you can live in. You can live for God. Yes, he will help you. He'll give you enough strength. He'll give you the power to live for him, a Christian life. You just got to want to bad enough. And what will make you want to is if you've been living with your mom and daddy and they've been serving God and been faithful, then God's blessings are on you don't know. You young people, listen to me for just a minute. Consider what I'm saying. If your mom and daddy's been serving God, the blessings of God have been on your life. You don't know what it's like to live in an ungodly home and then not have the blessings of God on your life and having all kinds of hell. Did y'all know that? There's a lot of young people that are living in broken down homes. They're living in houses where there's all kinds of corruption. There's no peace in the home. There's all kinds of sin and things going on. And they're living in that. They don't know nothing about living in a home with a godly mother and father whose God's blessings are on and there's peace. you take that and throw that away, you're a thief. You're just taking the blessings of God, that God's blessed, put blessings on your life that your mom and daddy have lived, and you just take that and act like it's nothing. Well, but you might just have to find out what sin really will do to you. God forbid that I think greater things of our young people here than that. I'm asking God to help you not fall in that kind of trap, not be deceived in thinking that, life's going good for me, so I don't even know what I believe. I don't know if I believe all this. You're lying to yourself and everybody else. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know God's real. And you know enough about the Word of God, if you really sat down and asked God to help you and would go over in your mind, you would know. You'd know. I know enough of the Bible to know I can't be saved with any of these foolish religions out here. I just maybe so, hope so, you can sin and still, you can live any way you want to and you'll be all right. You know better than that. There ain't not one young people been raised in here that don't know better than that. You're lying to yourself and everybody else if you say, I don't know. I don't know what I believe. Yes, you know what you believe. You know the baptism of the Holy Ghost is real, and you know what sin is, because when you commit it, God convicts you of it. You can't tell me God don't deal with your conscience when you begin to, turn against the things of God. Don't lie to yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Just, be man enough or woman enough just to say, I'm doing wrong, and I know I'm doing wrong, and I need help. I've got a little cousin right now that he lived a great life in the body of Christ, but he hit a bump and he got out and he's out in the world. But did you know, if I walk up to him today, he'll say, Brother Smith, I ain't living right. I ain't doing good and I need prayer. Pray for me. He won't act like everything's all right. The minute he sees me or anybody else that's living for God, he'll just own up to it. I can at least appreciate that he ain't trying to make me believe that he don't know whether or not he's doing right or wrong. I have a hard time with people who say, I don't know what I believe. You go tell that to somebody. That's that song, Here's a Quarter, go tell somebody who cares. Because I don't believe that. I got more sense than that. You're just trying to find an excuse for what you're doing. Anyway, but I understand what young people go through. I've been through it. I've been through the, you don't get through it just because you hit 20, 21, 25. You'll hit 30, 35. There'll be times you'll have to say, now, and I really believe this. Is this really right? You'll have to go back through. You'll have to begin to rehearse to yourself. I've told my wife before, I said, I'd left this body a long time ago. But I know there ain't nowhere to go. I know this message is the truth. I know this is the people of God. I can't lie to myself and not know that. I know it. And I ain't willing to go back into sin and live in corruption, and God lift his blessings off my life. So I said, we just got to stay with it. We just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other, headed to it, say, God, I'm going your way. I'm going to stay with this. Hold on to me. Don't let me fall. I need your help. Yes, amen. He will help you too. So I'm not condemning you young people. I'm just trying to help you see what you go through and encourage you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't look down. Just keep looking up. Just say, God, help me. I'm having trouble. If you'll do that, I'll promise you, if you really mean it, he'll help you. Yeah. There is. Remember this. Let me give you young people. God may be helping me get ready for the youth meeting. Look in the book of Hebrews real quick. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Isn't that where that scripture is? Uh, talking about Moses in the 23rd verse. It said, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. See, the king was going to kill every firstborn Jewish boy. God put it in these parents' hearts. They seen that baby and they said, we got to hide him. We can't let him be killed. They saw something about it. They had a feeling about this baby. And they hid him for 3 months. Verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, when he got older, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. If you remember, he was found where they hid him, and Pharaoh's daughter didn't want to kill him, so she took him for her own and raised him. But when he got old enough, he refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather, here's the verse I want y'all to get, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now see what that tells you, young people? There is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. It'll turn on you. What's that old saying? Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. What's the rest of that? Slowly but wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, taking control. And it'll cost you more than you're willing to pay. So Moses, here's a boy that was raised by an ungodly, idolatrous daughter of Pharaoh, false religious system. But he saw the people of God and he knew he was a Jew. He knew. You know why? Because God made it possible to let his mama nurse him as a nursemaid. You see the wisdom of God in that? And she taught him who he was and why God preserved him in faith. Just like you've had faith. God put faith in your life. Caused you to believe. And so, verse 26 said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. You could read that this way. That you and I esteem the reproach of being a Christian. You know, all your people you get around, your friends. It's tough to live a Christian life because everybody in here knows by far the majority. You don't believe it, just go take a ride with Brother Al and Brother Dave out to the racetrack on some Saturday night. They finally got me out there. I didn't stay till it was over, but I stayed as long as I could. Or as long as I would. But I did look at them stands. I said, this would be a good place to take up an offering. It was full. So we ain't got nothing on the racetrack out there in Alexander. You know, they're beating us on getting people in and doing, having their fun. We're esteeming the reproach of a Christian to be a greater riches than the treasures of this world, what people in this world treasure and put their value on. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So, Moses, you know, there was something in him that decided, I'm going to go with the people of God and I'm going to pay the price. because I know there's a price to pay. But he said, I know I'm going to see him who's invisible. He had faith for life. Faith to know God and not let the world rob him of that. Getting back on the seven spirits of God, we've already talked about the Spirit of the Lord, which is the presence of God the Father. That's his personal he reserves his place to let you feel his spirit, his presence. How'd you like to serve a God you couldn't feel? I felt him this morning when the band was singing, playing Amazing. I mean, How Great Thou Art. I'm just sitting in my chair and all of a sudden I felt that spirit come in. His presence. My Lord, how blessed are we that God's presence, that God himself says, I want you to feel my spirit, my presence. He reserves that place for him, his presence, his manifestation, that man can feel him. Then the spirit of wisdom, God, his son is in charge of everything. He put him in charge of everything. He's got the wisdom of God to create the world and run everything in it. I know Brother Clyde Patton used to tell us all the time, he used to say, God's in charge, he's running the world, and Jesus is running the church. Really, the Bible said Jesus is running everything. God give him preeminence over everything. It's God's mind, it's God's will, it's the mind of God's working through Christ. So you could say God's in charge of it. But really, I think Jesus is, he's the head of the body, but he knows what's going on in Ukraine and over in Iraq and everywhere else, and he's in charge of it. He's over principalities and powers, no matter where, in heaven and in earth. He's over it all. And then that Christ, the wisdom of Christ is working in the church. So you don't have, it's not your or my job to do Jesus' job. He will bring to pass what he's going to do. And then understanding. The apostles. That establishes God. He's our chief apostle too, but he calls men as apostles. There's men that have gifts today that they may not have the same gift that the early church apostles had, and the fullness of God's not working yet through all these gifts together, but there's establishing gifts. There's men that can give you understanding that'll establish you. And then the spirit of counsel, pastors, that the counsel of God, I was saying earlier, the mouth, the feeling is an apostle. Then the hearing, the ears is a teacher. The eyes is a prophet. Prophets can see the future. They can see God's judgment. The eyes of the Lord, are upon us. God's got prophets in the land that'll foretell. They can show you what's going to be down the road. Brother Leniger, in my opinion, Brother Leniger is the greatest apostle this body has ever had since William Souders that I know of. I don't know of another man that could show what's going to take place in the future better than Brother Leniger. When Brother Leniger started talking on prophecy, this body listened up because he was the only man that operated in that area in the measure that he operated on. He's a prophet. Oh, I'm sorry, prophet. He was a seer. He was the eyes of the body. He helped us to see down the road. He's the greatest prophet, that's what I meant to say, since William Souders. I don't mean that was the only gift he had. I'm just saying that was a predominant gift that operated in Brother Ray Leniger. It also brings judgment. You know, when God's eyes are on you, he sees. and a prophet can tell you, here's what's going to happen. And if you don't do this, here's what's going to happen to you. They bring judgment. I know I've got a gift of a prophet working in my life, but I used to when I was younger. I had to come to a place to realize that a church can't take too much of me, because you bring a church under condemnation, judging it. I had a man in my church one time. He's called in the ministry. He asked me, he said, is there anything that you can tell us that don't bring judgment and condemnation on us? I thought, dear God, I'm kind of working in that office right now today. I'm putting a little bit of judgment in here, but some of you need it. Or some of you need some judgment. Or some of you young people that's fixing to slip right out in the world, lose your soul if you don't listen to me. You're in trouble right now. You better listen to God. God's dealing with you. I ain't up here talking to hear myself talk. I'm talking because God put this on my heart. God's talking to you. It ain't Mickey Smith talking. This is God talking to some people. And so I want to help you. I don't want to, you know, I want to obey God. You'll have to respond to God. You'll have to answer God. But then the eyes is a prophet, the ears is the teacher, the mouth, I said, is the counsel, the feeling is an apostle. What have I left out? Anything? The evangelist, the nose, the smelly. An evangelist, he can get you excited. Just he can get your spiritual snout working. He can get you to where you're feeling God. You're feeling what God's about to do. He can get you excited about the things of God. He can, you know, when you cannot even be hungry. You know, Sister Sherry asked me yesterday, she said, you want to get pizzas for the men for lunch? I said, what do you men think? They all said, no, we don't need no pizzas. We're not hungry. We had a good, y'all fed us a good breakfast. She said, yeah, but when it comes time, I said, well, there's a few men in the kitchen that's going to still be here after a lot of these men are gone. We probably better get them some pizzas. She said, the other ones are going to want it when they smell it. Well, they brought in 6 pizzas and set them down. Then them guys started opening them lids. Brother Painter looked over there at him. He said, go get some more. This ain't going to work. He said, these guys that already got their nose just went to work. I don't think there was a man in there that didn't eat some pizza, even though they said, we don't want any. But you cannot be hungry. And you know how it works. Somebody get a big juicy hamburger, and you ain't hungry a bit. But you get smelling that hamburger. You know, and you just want some. Your nose goes to work and it excites your body and your mind. That's what an evangelist does. He starts talking about Jesus. I'll forgive you for your sins. He'll heal you. Is anybody sick in here today? There's a Christ. There's a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our great physician. He'll heal you today. If you've got trouble in your body, if you don't feel good, Jesus will heal you. All you have to do is ask and believe Him. If you can't believe it, I'll believe for you. That's what an evangelist will say. He'll get you excited about it. Yes. He'll get you to want to be saved. He'll get you to want to live. He'll talk about all the good things God will do for you. Taste the Lord and see He is good. He'll be good to you. He won't treat you wrong. He'll bless you. Yeah. He loves you. He'll lift you up out of the pit. He'll lift you up out of your troubles. He'll give you peace. He's the Lord of peace. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's a peacemaker. Hallelujah. They'll get you excited. Your spiritual nose will go to work. You'll say, this smells good. There ought to be a scripture on that. Smell the Lord. Oh, that's a... So these seven spirits, the Spirit of the Lord is God, wisdom. That's his. That's God's predominant manifestation. But he manifests in all of these wherever they're working. Wisdom, Jesus is the wisdom of God, and Jesus, whoever he's manifesting through, I don't care if it's the least of these gifts, he can give wisdom to it. The least saint in here can get wisdom from Christ ministering wisdom. He is wisdom. You won't be anywhere where Christ is that he won't give some wisdom, some measure of wisdom. And then understanding, an apostle. And then counsel, a pastor, and might, an evangelist, and knowledge, a teacher. The fear of the Lord, that's that prophet. That's the eyes. It calls you to fear God, because when a prophet reaches out as a seer and pulls up the future so close that you think, dear God, I better get busy. I better get busy, because look what's going to happen, and I'm not going to be ready for it. And he'll even make you think it's going to happen before it's going to happen. He'll draw it up so close you'll think it's going to happen tomorrow. This could happen any time. I better get busy. Start showing you what the future holds. So, anyway, verse 3 here says, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. It'll do it for you too. The seven spirits of God will give you quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. It said, he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he'll smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips, and he'll slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Hallelujah. And it said, the wolf also dwell with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child will lead them. Of course, we know that's talking about when Jesus gets through with this. When he gets finished with all this, he's going to bring peace. You know, even the animals, even the wild animals, and the wild spirits and men are just going to lay down together. They're just going to get along. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad for that. I'm glad that I'm serving a God like this, that we're serving. What a Savior. What a Lord that he's gave us all this. And here we are in the body of Christ. Did y'all know when I came to the body, I never heard of the seven spirits of God? I didn't know there was seven spirits. I never even heard of the fivefold ministry. Well, I did. Not too long before I came to the body, the charismatics got a hold of y'all's message on the fivefold ministry. That wasn't taught out there for a long, long time. But God revealed it to men in the body, and it got out. It's getting out. This message is getting out. The body of Christ, it got out. Just the church being the body. There's not any religious group, Christians, that don't call the church the body now. Now, it's causing a lot of confusion because they believe they're the body. You know, they believe that the Catholic Church, Methodist Church, Presbyterian Church, Christian Church, Baptist Church, all the Pentecostal churches, they believe all the Christian churches is the body. Don't you ever go to believe in that. They're not any of those churches hooked together. None of them are. Look, a body, just stand in front of the mirror and look at your body and just see if it's divided all up like all of Christianity out here. That ain't a body. The Baptist Church and the Methodist Church are no more hooked together than nothing. Their ministers don't believe the same thing. They're not in the same organization. They don't have the same. Now look at the early church that was called a body. The 12 apostles were all together. They believed the same thing. Every minister in that body was connected with the same message. They had the same order. They were not divided. They weren't separated. They didn't have separate leaderships, separate headquarters. This is not a body out here. All this Christianity is Babylon. Babylon means confusion. God, the Lord, will have to change all that. Just like he did in the early church, he has to get his people out of all of that and bring them in his body. His body. Read the 18th chapter of the book of Revelations. Come out of her, my people. Babylon is fallen. You're going to have to realize there's only one body. There's just one faith. There's just one spirit. There's just one baptism. There's just one Lord. He's not the head over all of this. He can't be the head over an organization out here. They vote their heads in. Jesus can't get in there and be the head of that. And that don't make us greater than them. What it makes us is just like the early church. Jesus one day said, I'm going to build a church. And the gates of hell, which is preachers, that's what gates are. Nobody, if a preacher don't let you in, you can't get in. You know what Jesus said to the Pharisees and Sadducees back there? He said, you do shut up. He said, you blind guides, you shut up the kingdom of God. You won't go in and you won't let anybody else go in. And that happens today. A pastor is a door. A pastor is a doorway in every church. You can't go beyond whatever's taught by that man who's the leader of that assembly. You can't. He's the door. He can shut it. He can shut it to truth. He can open it. He can let you in or he can shut you up. That's why it's important for us to stay with the body of Christ and stay open to the men of God. And stay, keep our minds open where God can help us and open up more truths to us and things that we need more of when he wants to give them to us. If we get locked up in an organization that says this is our articles of faith and what we believe, they are already shut up in a sealed house. They can't go any further than where they're at in God. Unless their organization men that's been voted in by men. God didn't set them in, but men voted them in. And unless those men say, we're going to change on something, which some of them are doing out here. Did you know that? They're saying, we've decided to accept homosexuality and let preachers come in here who are homosexuals. Did you know there's Christian organizations doing that right now? Christian organizations that are voting in and accepting homosexuals as ministers. I don't even want to accept them as members, much less ministers. You can't be a member unless God adds you to the church. And I'm going to tell you right now, God ain't adding corrupt sinners to the church. You got to come clean with God, and he's got to cleanse you and forgive you of your sins, and he'll add you to the church. And you can become God's child. That don't mean you can't go back out into sin. You can. You're still God's child, but he will chastise you and try to save you. All right. Well, I hope I've said something that either convicted you where you want to get God to help you or that helped your understanding, you know, or that just help you further in your understanding. So God's good to us. He's a wonderful Savior. How great thou art, the song said. What a great God that what did the scripture say he's going to do it there in the 11th chapter of Isaiah? How did that last verse say that? He'd slay the wicked with the breath of his lips, and righteousness would be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. I don't want to be a part of the wicked when he slays them. Right now, he's not slaying the wicked. He's not just coming out against wickedness. Strong. God's not doing that right now. He's slow to wrath. God's slow to wrath and slow to judge. He'll let things go and he'll try his best to help his people. And he's a merciful God. He's a patient Lord and Savior. So I know that when he's done, that's talking about, you know, it just kind of condenses it, that he's come, he's quick in understanding the fear of the Lord, and he's going to bring righteousness to this world. That was 2,000, that was actually about 300 years ago or so when that was written. He came in the end of the Jewish world and started this work, and it's 2,000 years after that, and it's still going on. He still hadn't slayed the wicked. There's still some wicked people around, isn't there? He hadn't slayed them yet. But when he's finished this world, there won't be any wickedness in this world. That's something to lay a hold of, saints. One of these days, there's going to be peace and happiness throughout eternity, and you have an opportunity to be a part of it. And look, right now, it's not hard to serve God right now. It ain't hard to serve him. It may take a little while to get the world out of your life, but he's not hard to serve. Matter of fact, it's easy to serve God. It's easy to have peace. Go to bed and lay down and have peace in your heart and in your mind. It's easy, you know, to live a righteous life right now. There's no real condemnation on you for doing it. There's not, the world hadn't turned against us yet because we want to live a righteous life. God's made a place in America, at least, that you can live for God and not suffer any great suffering, persecution. It's going to come in this world before God's finished, but right now is a good time to serve. Right now is a good time to enjoy his blessings. In fact, I just can't imagine not living for God. Getting out and becoming a part of the world and having God lift his grace and mercy and protection and blessings off my life. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine anybody that would want to take that kind of chance. Now, I know people that's living in that don't know the other side. They don't know the goodness of God, the blessings of God, the benefits of God. It's not hard to serve him. Just here's the way to do it. Just repent and accept Christ and tell him, I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to do it one day at a time. I'm just asking you to take me by the hand and lead the way. Just, I'm going to be committed to do my part, but I need you to help me every day, and he will. As long as you have that attitude, God will help you. He'll help you serve him. He'll help you live for him. And his blessings. You know what it's like to have your life all in disarray? You know, fighting at home. You know, don't know how you're going to pay your bills. Don't know where you're, you know. Let me tell you something. God, there's a Lord that will lift you up out of all of that and bless you and take care of you and meet your needs. He may not give you everything you want, but he'll take care of you. You don't have to worry about food to eat or a place to sleep. The Lord, he'll lift you up and give you peace and bless your life in a way that you'll think, oh, God, why didn't I turn to you before now? All right. Praise God. Let's pray here before we have dinner. Today's dinner day. Let's pray. Sister Renata let us know that they were going to be out of town today and ask us to pray that God would watch over them and protect them and bless their trip. They went to Texas, and Brother and Sister Tally are gone. Let's pray for them. Brother Daniels just got out of the hospital, and he needs still your prayers. God, lift him up out of this situation with his health. And then Brother Weiniger is going to have surgery tomorrow morning. He's got a hernia. He's got to have some repair done. Let's pray that God would touch him and guide the hand of the doctor and the surgeons, and that he'll have a speedy recovery, and the Lord would watch over him with this operation. What else do we need to pray about here today? Sister Holly? Her job situation. Keep praying. God give her that daytime job. Sister Crafton. Okay, her daddy is going to have surgery. Her mama hurt her back and is hurting in pain. And Joshua's got back trouble too now. They all three need your prayers. What else? Sister Cindy? All right. Sister Cindy's mom. You know, God's had his hand on her all these years. Let's keep praying for her. Mr. Angie Elder. All right. Brother Mark, he's been sick this last week. Let's pray God touch him. All right. Sister Jenny Crafton. She was here last week, wasn't it? Or 2 weeks ago. Oh, she's living here now and wants to make her services, but she's still not in good health. Yes, Brother and Sister Crow. Sister Abraham. All right. Remember those... requests, Brother Keith. Okay. Brother Dodson, Natalie, and Stan's out of town. Remember them and an unspoken request. Sister Reva. Painter. All right. His wife passed away, Gary Hall. There's a lady, her name is Karen Hensley. She was in the Republic Church for several years, her and her husband Robbie, and then they divorced. She moved to Kansas and he stayed there in the Springfield area, and he's remarried now. They're both out in the world. But she's been calling me. She wants to come to our youth meeting, and she wants to move here to Little Rock. But she's on disability. She's got some health issues, and she don't work, so she has to be where she can get assistance. I don't know. I told her, I said, I don't know what kind of assistance available in Arkansas for you, but you can research that and find out. I said, I'm willing for you to come here, you know, if you're really wanting God back in your life. And of course, she assures me she does. And she's visited Wichita several times, matter of fact. But she said, Brother Smith, it just ain't the same. I said, well, no church is exactly the same. Little Rock won't be the same as Republic was. And she said, well, I just, you know, probably she's attaching herself because she got saved under my ministry. And a lot of times when you're trying to get back to God, you go back to your roots. So pray for her, Karen Hensley. I've encouraged her to go back. She was in Wichita last weekend, so maybe I hope she's there today. But I told her, I said, if you could get hooked in there, you wouldn't have to make this move. But I said, we always need new people, but we'd love to have you, but, you know, it's going to be a difficult thing for you to make that kind of transition. Anyway, pray for her, Karen Hensley. They were a blessing in Republic for many years, but then they got away from God. All right, let's stand and pray. Pray for the youth meeting. Let's pray God would begin to settle in here and begin to touch our youth and inspire them and inspire all of us to get ready for this meeting. I'm looking for something great from God. Also, there's a brother by the name of, I don't know his last name. His name's Enrique. I think he's from Ecuador. He's been around the body now for 2 or 3 years, and he's getting this message. And he's got over in the Dominican, he's Spanish, Latin background. And he's got over in the Dominican Republic and found churches over there, and he's calling me and wanting to work with me, and he's got several connections and several churches in different Latin American countries. He'll be here for our youth meeting, and I think he's going to come early to spend some time with me. So pray for Brother Enrique. I've been working with him some over several years, but he just kind of like a racehorse and wanting to do something for God, but I think he's finally starting to get the message. And so he's really enjoying this message, wanting to work with us and be a part of our ministry. Okay. Is this the one that the painter, the one that was in the different one? Okay. What's his name? Huh? Glenn. All right. Let's pray for him. I've got I've had this man on my mind too. He's our church insurance or property insurance. Well, he's got all our insurance. Agent. I've been talking to him for quite a while and he's not happy with, he's been faithful in church, but he isn't happy. He's not satisfied. And I've been talking to him some, and he's been telling me he's going to come. Then I've got this guy that sells me. He's the one that takes care of my cell phone deals with AT&T. And he's telling me he's him and his son going to come visit our church. And then the manager of the AT&T store up here on Shackelford, I was in there the other day, and she came over to me. She saw me. She said, aren't you that preacher? I said, yeah, you need to confess something. She said, I need to confess a lot. But anyway, I'm kind of making friends with her, trying to get her to come to church. So pray for those people with me, if you would. All right, let's pray. Praise God. Dear Lord, help us today. Your goodness, oh God, these needs that we have. God, we just lift them up to you. Lord, we're your needy children. We have burdens and cares for others that we're petitioning your help and your working in these situations. Health and salvation and all of this that's been mentioned here today. Oh God, touch our assembly. God, get us ready for this youth meeting. Quicken to us what you want for this meeting. Oh God, help us to be host that would minister your goodness, your righteousness, your charity, oh God, to your people, your young people. Touch our young people, oh God. God, quicken them and help them, Lord. Oh God, let them be enlightened more of the things of God and the wonderful Holy Ghost. Oh, precious Lord. God, let us sup with you in a greater way. We're trusting in you, Lord, asking you for your help. Amen, amen. All right, God bless you today as you give. You can be seated. We're going to have dinner. Try to remember to put something in the basket to help us with our food bill. It runs over $1,000 a month, I've noticed. Well over that every month for what we spend on groceries. And we don't take that much in. So try to think, you know, $3 or $4 a person would you couldn't eat at McDonald's. You couldn't even just go through there and get the cheapest thing they had for $3 or $4 with a drink. So drop something in the basket to help us so we can pay for, you know, we want to keep that blessing going and share it one and one another with each other. It's a good time of fellowship. All right, God bless you. Please stay after service, after dinner, and let's get the church cleaned right away and try to get everything that needs to be done for the cleaning. Amen. All right. God bless your hearts. Bless you as you give.
Everybody stay if you can.
And there's plenty of food for everyone. I might mention it's good to have Brother Fisher's little cousin, Amanda, with us today. Aren't we glad she's here? Are you coming to the youth meeting, Amanda? You got to go back to work? Do you work day and night? We have service, some services at night. Well, it's not that far. Also, Sister Terry, where have you been? Shelton, Sister Terry Shelton. That's not her. Who are you? Who? Alyssa Sturgeon. Where have you been? Yeah, we're glad you're here with us today. We really are. Where is Sister Terry, Sister? Tell her that I've been asking about her and that I'm after her. Bless her heart. We're praying. Tell her I've been asking about her and we're praying for her. Don't tell her I'm after her. I'm not after her. All right. God bless you. Let's all go downstairs and eat and have good fellowship.